Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, magic makers, it's Kim here, and I have a conversation that I know many of you have been waiting for me to have. Today, I am talking to Miss Jennifer Harrington, and we are talking all about menopause. And many of you had questions, and I am hoping to deliver on the answer, deliver the answers to all of your questions that you have about menopause. So, Jen, please introduce yourself to my wonderful audience.
Hello, ladies. So I'm Jen. I'm the clinical director of Menopause Natural Solutions. And hopefully today I'm here to solve a couple of questions for you.
Awesome. So while we were, doing our pre-show chatter, we were talking about, you know, menopause. And so one of the, you know, obvious questions people always ask is why is it called menopause?
Okay, so if you split the word into two, men and then pause, it's the pause or the stopping, the ending of menstruation. So I know you could joke around and say, well, actually it's the end of men. And I know a lot of women do actually leave their husbands at this point in time, but it's got nothing to do with that. It's all to do with the sensation, the ending of your periods, and hopefully you don't end things with your husband. Hopefully you have a happy life together. But we find at this stage of life, if things aren't working for you, it's where you no longer take it. It's like jobs that no longer serve you, you leave. Relationships, whether they be family, friends, you no longer tolerate. Go women. This is a time for personal empowerment.
And I also laugh because it's like, you know, you're like, hey, if I could survive menopause, I don't need any of this other bullshit in my life.
Exactly.
So the other thing we talked about before we hopped on live, which I thought was a great place to start our conversation, is that you were comparing menopause to puberty. So can you explain that to my audience?
Of course. So when we're looking at a timeline of a woman's life, you're born, you have your infancy, you have your childhood, you have puberty. And puberty is not a disease, it's a transition. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes many years. And it's your body learning to cope with hormones. So we then go through puberty, we enter our fertile years, and at the other end of the fertile years, we have perimenopause, which is the exact opposite of puberty. It's not a disease, it's a transition. Unless you've had a medical menopause, it doesn't happen overnight. It can take years, it can even take a decade. But it's the time in which your body learns to cope with the reduced level of hormones. And then we move into menopause. And menopause is defined as 12 months after your last period. And menopause is not no periods. Sorry, menopause is no periods. It is not no hormones. It is lower level of hormones.
Right. And so I love that very description of what you said, because we kind of black out when we were teenagers and we had our raging hormones,
yes,
made our parents nutso. And we, you know, and the same thing is happening this time round, except for instead of, you know, us getting pumped full of hormones, you know, our hormones are starting to dump themselves out.
Absolutely. And it's just, it's a transit. It's a transition. It's not something that should happen quickly. It takes time.
Yeah. And I mean, I think nowadays in our, you know, hustle and bustle society, if menopause isn't done by like, you know, 5 o'clock, I'm good. It's taken too long.
Absolutely. And there are so many women out there that are suffering, that are just trying to wait it out. Like, it'll be over soon. It's like, maybe it won't be. It might be years. It could even be a decade. Why aren't you seeking help now?
Right. And, you know, menopause isn't like pregnancy where you're like, oh, I know, it's only 9 months. I could gut it out. Like, you don't have to gut it out. So
and there's no magical line in the sand where it's done.
Yeah. And that leads me to, you know, what are some of, you know, other than like the hot flashes and the weight gain, what are some other symptoms that I might be experiencing that aren't really in the top tier of menopausal symptoms? Mm.
Well, let's start at the very beginning. So at the very beginning of perimenopause, the symptoms that women start experiencing can be to do with changes in their menstrual cycle. They might have had very, very predictable menstrual cycles, which all of a sudden are no longer predictable. And what can change is the length of a cycle. So you might go from having very short cycles to very long cycles, or a combination of both. And also the bleed can change. The bleed might have been normal before, and now it's really heavy and painful or really light. And from that, the next kind of batch of symptoms I see are sleeping issues, that it might be problems getting to sleep, could be problems staying asleep, could be waking up hot and sweaty and needing to change all the bed sheets, and also moods. So just changes in your moods, maybe not tolerating situations as well as you used to. I know for myself in early perimenopause, I, for the very first time in my life, experienced anxiety. And I'm like, what is this? This is not me. What's happening? And it was a very, very stressful situation. And normally I cope okay with stress, and I wasn't. And I'm like, oh, hold on, Jen. I think this is perimenopause. It's something that I would normally have coped with that I didn't cope as well with. So,
yeah.
That's kind of the beginning stages of perimenopause. So it's not necessarily, like you said, the hot flushes that people go, oh, it's heat. It's definitely the beginning of menopause. It can be subtle little changes.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, because we hear so much about like the mood swings and the hot flashes, and that's all we look for. Yeah. And we don't look for those other subtle changes. Like, you know, sleeplessness, like, you know, that for me, like when I don't get a lot of sleep, I'm a pain in the ass. So that is something I would definitely seek out some support on.
Yeah.
But it, you're right about the other things like anxiety. Like, maybe you've never been anxious before in your life and you're probably like, oh my God, like what happened?
Yeah. And for me, it was just an over response to a situation.
Yeah.
And depression's also something that's fairly common in this point of life. So keep your eye out for those, because it could just be your body starting to adapt to the various hormonal changes, or it could be that you are actually depressed, and either way, you need to seek help.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I always tell my clients is, like, start tracking your symptoms, because if it's something that is like a continual thing, it's a thing.
And I'm right with you there, Kim, because I actually have a menopause quiz on my website where you can go in and you can put down what symptoms you're experiencing now. And then in a month's time or in 3 months' time, you can go back and do it again and you can compare your results. You can see what things are getting better, what things are maybe the same. And also to help prioritize where you want to focus and change.
And that's a great segue there. One, for those people, I will put the link to the quiz in the show notes, so don't worry about that. Two, I love what you just said, because when I was having some health issues, of course you want them all gone today. But, you know, just as you said, it is a systematic approach.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to look at, you know, the five things that are, you know, problematic, but you're like, okay, what can we work on first, and then work on second, work on third. And I think a lot of people don't you know, don't have want the patience for that kind of approach.
But it's interesting. I love talking to you being a lifestyle interventionist, because lifestyle changes work on all symptoms.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you're not exercising and you start exercising, there is research to say if you haven't been exercising and you start, okay, it may increase hot flushes initially, but in the long term, regular exercise decreases hot flushes, as well as everything else that exercise does.
Right, absolutely. And I think it's funny because, you know, for women who I talk to, I'm like, well, you know, if you're exercising, keep exercising. Like, well, I'm already hot. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? At some point, there's the tipping point. Yes. I'm like, I can't tell you if it's 5 workouts or 50 workouts, but there is a tipping point where the hot flashes will decrease and the workouts will make it feel much better.
And you know what? It doesn't matter if you get hot during a workout. You'd get hot during a workout whether you were menopausal or not. What happens in between those workouts that will change.
Right. And honestly, I would rather be sweaty from a workout than sweaty because I'm sitting here talking to you. That's really, like, that's a hard conversation when, like, you're in the middle of talking to someone and all of a sudden you just start to, like, perspire. You're like, I'm sorry, I'm just having some hot flashes right now.
Yes. And always having to get the table near the window so that you get that cool breeze in.
The table near the window, or you're hot one moment, taking off your jacket, putting your jacket on, and you're like a fidgeting 5-year-old.
It's a very good description.
It's worse when you're on a plane. Oh,
yes, I can imagine.
So basically, for most people, you know, kind of, if we were to wrap it up, perimenopause is, I want to say, where most people will say that they are having menopausal problems. Correct?
Correct. So most women will finish up all of their menopausal transition symptoms within, generally within 2 years of menopause. But because perimenopause can go for a decade, that is where the vast majority of women who are symptomatic are.
Gotcha. Now, this is totally, I'm throwing a curveball at you just because it just popped in my head.
Okay.
So you know how now we're starting to see girls menstruate earlier?
Yep.
Are we seeing menopause come earlier, or is just menstruation lasting longer because the girls are getting their periods earlier?
We are seeing a whole gamut of results. So there are some women who unfortunately do go through an early menopause, and it's devastating for them because not only do they lose the opportunity in some cases to have a family, they also... estrogen is very protective. So it's protective for your bones. It's protective for your heart. There's so many, like even things like liver function. Once your estradiol level starts to reduce, your liver function starts to reduce by 1% a year. And there's so many issues that you're at higher risk for in menopause. So if your postmenopausal period is 30 or 40 years, versus your postmenopausal period being 50 or 60 years, you can see you're at a greater risk of certain conditions.
Now, is that for both natural menopause as well as medical menopause?
Yeah, so with medical menopause, it's overnight, and they definitely do need hormonal replacement because it's what your body naturally does over a decade, your poor body can't do.
You did it in 24 hours. You Amazon primed it.
No. Yeah. So you definitely need hormone replacement in that kind of scenario. But it's also looking at, okay, how old you are. If you're in your 20s and your endometriosis symptoms or your fibroids or for whatever reason you need to have a complete hysterectomy, then it's about putting strategies in place to help minimize all of the risks that you have postmenopausally. I am finding that there are more women going through medical menopauses these days, and it can just be because medical technology is getting better. But also, I'm one of those women that really struggled and suffered in my 20s but I found natural therapies and my pain went. So if you're one of those women out there who are really struggling and suffering, I would try plan A, plan B, plan C, and surgery would be at the very end, where I think women are fast tracking and just going straight to surgery these days.
So this is a great segue. So I feel I'm with you, because I struggled for a long time. And, you know, when it got to the point about surgery,
yeah,
I was down the Western rabbit hole.
Yep.
And, you know, finally I was just like, you know, their solution was, well, for a year, we're going to give you this product, Lipitron. Basically, it would put me in medical menopause, yep, for a year to see if that could solve my problems. They're like, but you'll put on 60 pounds. I'm like, what?
There's always side effects.
Right. You think that is a solution? And that's what caused me to go down the natural path. But I don't feel like, I think sometimes medical people bully you into thinking that like you can't do alternatives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the medical route is the conventional route, is where most people are. And it's where most people's parents were and their grandparents were. So you're just naturally following route. You need to step outside of the square and go, what else is possible? What else can I try? Acupuncture? Can I try naturopathy? Is it actually environmental? Am I just living right in a really toxic house full of mold, lots of radiation? What can I change? And there are so many things you can change first.
Yeah, and I, you know, that was one of the kind of ahas that was brought to my attention during this whole process, was I was slathering my body with chemicals. Yes.
We are so toxic. I don't know if you've seen the documentary called 10 Americans, where they went through and they took toxicity samples from 10 different placentas. So these are newborn babies, haven't been exposed to anything. This is in the womb. And I think it was over 200 chemicals on average out of all of these placentas. And it was like random selection from all different places. I guess some mothers were probably on organic diets and some weren't and whatnot, but we all live on the same planet. And it's unfortunately a very toxic planet. So some of the testing that I do with my patients is I look at, I do a HTMA, which is a hair tissue mineral analysis, to look for heavy metals. And I do a GPL tox panel, which is looking at chemical toxins. And
yeah,
really, we are in worse shape than we realize.
Yeah, that was one of the most eye-opening things for me. And now my husband calls me a hippie because
welcome to the family.
Because I, you know, literally, like, as soon as a toxic product was done, I bought new, and everything is, you know, no parabens, no synthetic things. Like, everything is like, if it's a natural thing, it doesn't come in.
And have you got rid of all your plastics as well?
I got rid of all of my plastics. You know, it's so funny. I don't know if you've seen the documentary of a woman who tried to live plastic free.
No, I haven't, but I'll go look it up.
Oh, like, so as you're trying to be this, like, you know, good person, you look around and you're like, God damn it. Everything comes in plastic.
Yep. Yeah, I haven't succeeded in being 100%, but there's some simple things like getting rid of your cling wrap and your Tupperware and getting glass containers and your drinking water bottles. It's simple.
Oh my God, yeah. And I lived, you know, I was a personal trainer for years, and I lived out of like heating, taking my Tupperware, throwing it in the microwave.
Oh no.
Yeah, for years. That was me. So if anyone's still doing that, go out and get yourself sick. Go on Amazon, get yourself some glass Tupperware. I mean, I don't even like glassware. Tupperware works so well. They did such a good job branding themselves.
Yes, I know. I just cleaned out my mum's place, she was downsizing from a house to a unit, and she used to sell Tupperware, and I found so much of it in storage, and I just binned it all.
Yeah, it'll probably last for 500 years. So, you know, that's this whole talk about toxins and all that good stuff that also leads into, for many people, you know, one of the reasons why they gain weight.
Yes, absolutely. And it's also a reason why some women get menopausal symptoms, because when you're exposed to a toxin, your body's really smart. It goes, if I keep this toxin in my bloodstream, you're going to die. So let's put it into storage. And I use lead as an example. Lead loves to be stored in your bones. And it's relatively, well, it's not really safe in your bones because it's displacing calcium and making your bones brittle, but it's not going to kill you instantly. But when you go through perimenopause and menopause and your estrogen levels start to lower, your bone mass starts to decrease and this lead is re-released into the bloodstream and can cause symptoms very similar to menopause. So for me, it's so important to have a look what your toxic load is, because at this point in life, it's going to be released. And fat cells are another area that really like to store fat-soluble toxins.
Now, when you say that, and this is twofold. All right, how do I ask this? Okay, first part is yes. So we can take that toxic load and it goes into our fat cells. Also, because our estrogen's all wonky, that could also signal our body to store fat as well. But just as you talked about the fat leaching out of our bones, I'm sorry, the lead leaching out of our bones as we go through menopause, the same thing can happen to our fat cells as we lose weight, correct?
Yes, definitely. But it's not a reason to not lose weight. It's often, correct. What I often see is that a woman will be losing weight and then she will plateau. And I actually see this plateau as your body going, hold up, we've got too many toxins. We need to process these toxins before we will allow you to break down any more fat cells. So that's when I would go in with liver support. I will support the liver to detoxify whatever burden it has so that it can move on and start to release more fat cells.
Right. So, you know, most people, you know, go on these cleanse diet kind of things, these detoxes, and it's more of a, you're better doing it in a gradual process, because if I flood my bloodstream with too much, it's just like, I can't.
And you'll plateau. You'll go, I'm doing everything right. Why am I not losing weight? I'm exercising. I'm drinking my water. I'm eating well. And it's like your body's just telling you to pause.
Right.
Just stop.
Ergo, menopause.
And it will kickstart when it's ready. You don't want to push it, because then you're going to end sick.
And that's what diet culture teaches. Diet culture teaches you that, like, you know, the harder you push, the better it's going to be. No pain, no gain.
And a lot of women who are plateauing don't change anything, but the weight starts coming off again. It's like, what just happened? It's like, it's your body. Your body was ready to release more weight where it wasn't ready the week before. And if you are measuring your weight, you will often see, oh, look, I didn't do anything different, but I lost double the amount of weight. Or, hold on, I didn't lose any weight this week, but I didn't do anything wrong. It's like, it's okay. It's about what happens over time. I think we've got to start looking longer term rather than looking for everything is about instant gratification these days in Western society. We need to look more long term.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so on that weight gain, is weight gain an inevitability? You know, is it just like a fact of life?
Nope.
You're going through menopause, you know, perimenopause, through menopause, you're going to pack on the pounds. Is that like an inevitability?
No, you just need to look around and you'll always find role models. There's good role models and there's bad role models. Yes, it is so much easier to gain weight at this time, but it's not inevitable.
Right.
And with the quiz that I mentioned before, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you was because when I go through and have a look at my quiz, it's less than 10% of the women that have filled in the quiz are happy with their physical shape. But there is 10% that are happy with their physical shape. So it is possible.
Yeah, I feel it, I think it's the story that we tell ourselves. So if I tell myself the story that I turned 40 and I'm starting to have hot flashes, that I'm destined to put on 30 pounds.
Yeah. And it's also who you associate yourself with. They say you become the top five people that you hang around with. And if you're hanging around with people that are complaining, they're gaining weight. Some people use this as an excuse to not look after themselves. Well, I'm going to gain weight anyway, so I'm going to have that donut. And I'm not going to go to the gym today because it's not worth it. I'm going to gain weight anyway. It's like, no, that's not right. If you surround yourself with women that are looking after themselves, they're going to the gym, they're eating well, then chances are you are also going to the gym, you're eating well. That's looking around, you'll definitely find both. You'll find women that are really in shape in their 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond, and you'll find women that aren't, and it's a choice.
Right. And I feel like when you talked about weight, it is – or making changes, you know, we all have to make changes as we age. And so maybe it is what you were able to get away with is no longer the case because, you know, the hormones are all wonky right now. So you might need to just start to make micro adjustments to your workouts, to your food, until you find like that balance that works the best for you.
Yep, definitely agree.
And so, you know, people, I think the first complaint is weight gain. And then the second complaint is about hot flashes or night sweats. Is there, you know, yes, exercise for sure. Is there anything else people can do for that symptom?
Of which symptom? The hot flashes?
Hot flashes, night sweats.
Yes. There's actually so much that it's hard to give you a short answer because I'm looking at the woman as an individual. I'm not saying, well, we give everybody tribulus, which is a herb that performs very, very well in clinical research, but also in real life. So it's one of those herbs that I quite often think about when I have a woman that's having hot flushes, but I don't give it to every woman. For some people, right. I see it's more to do with adrenal fatigue, that there's so much stress in their life that they're going to benefit more from, say, something like magnesium. That's also going to help them sleep. It can help with energy levels and may reduce their hot flushes. So it's more about the woman in front of me, but I will also do a whole gamut of testing so that I can try and pinpoint exactly what's going on for them.
It's funny that you say that because when you talked about adrenal fatigue, and I feel that especially at this age, if you don't have your stress in check, I think the hot flashes can turn, are triggered by stressful situations or perceived stressful situations versus menopause.
Yeah. For me, one of the key symptoms, if it is adrenally related, is whether your heat is mostly at night. So because night sweats can be adrenally related or they can be hormonally related. So if you're getting hot flushes during the day and during the night, then it can be hormonal. But if it's predominantly in the night, then I'm thinking, and I just start asking them, what's going on in your life at the moment? Maybe your kids have left and you're lonely, or that you're fighting with your husband, or you're looking after your parents, or financial issues or work issues. And then we go, okay, we need to unpack your stress levels. What are you doing for stress management? And talk to them about lifestyle interventions, but I'm also going to support them nutritionally with things like magnesium to help them tolerate what's going on in their life, because not all stress is removable. If you've got a sick aging parent, you can't just go, right, I'm sorry, I can't help you anymore. You need to continue supporting them, but you need to help your body tolerate that stress better.
Yeah. And it's funny that you said about the night sweats, because in my 20s, I was a stress ball and I totally had night sweats. I was like, I think I'm going to die. And my doctor was like, girl, you're stressed.
Yes. And it's apparent that the menopausal transition is at a time where you're likely to be stressed purely because most of us will have kids that are either about to leave or are leaving, and we're worried about them, and we're also worried about parents. And it's just a total, you are a totally different woman post-menopausal than you were in your fertile years.
Right, exactly. You've lived a lot of life by this time.
Oh, absolutely. And hopefully you're a much better version of yourself.
So I had this one question, and that was very interesting, and was that metabolism versus hormones.
Yes.
So as we go through the menopause, is it our metabolism that's causing us to put on the weight, or is it the hormone that's causing us to put on the weight?
Well, one of the reasons why women gain weight is thyroid function. And what I find really, really scary is 1 in 12 women in perimenopause will have a thyroid condition, and 1 in 6 women postmenopause will have a thyroid condition, with the most common thyroid condition being hypothyroidism. And this is the slowing down of metabolism. So thorough thyroid testing is something that I highly recommend in the perimenopausal period, so we can see, is this something that we need to be mindful of for you? Do you need thyroid medication? Do you need some sort of support so that you don't become really sluggish, that you're always tired, that you're gaining weight, and that you're not maybe even struggling with a bit of depression and mood issues? These are all thyroid type symptoms.
And now, and it's funny that you're not funny, but it's interesting because you're probably the third or fourth person that I've ever I talked to about this who've brought in the thyroid. I find it so interesting. Is it, you know, what was it about the thyroid that people started to take a look at with, you know, perimenopause and menopausal women?
Okay, so a lot of the symptoms that women go through in the transition are the same as women who are also having thyroid disease. So if the symptoms are the same, then it's a good idea to test for both, so you can determine, is this a reproductive hormone issue or is this a thyroid hormone issue? So it's more differentiating so that I hate Band-Aids. I don't want to Band-Aid up your symptoms so that you're feeling better. That doesn't sit well with me. I want to dig deeper. I want to find the underlying cause of your symptoms so we can get true resolution.
Right. Yeah. I you know, that's one of the reasons why I switched primarily to naturopaths, because I think I've had Band-Aids for 20 years, and I think all the Band-Aids caused me to be where I am today. And I'm like, I need to just start scraping away at these problems.
Yes.
And so I get that. And I think as we talk about weight gain and we talk about metabolism, I think that is one of the causes, is because I know when I, you know, I did my research before I went to my general practitioner, and I said, hey, I'm like, can we just test my thyroid? And the first thing she did was like, oh, it's not your thyroid. And I was like, ugh. And so she humored me because I was like a mosquito, and she just gave me the TSH test. And I was like,
that's just one picture of the puzzle. Like, you need one piece of the puzzle. You need thorough thyroid testing, not just TSH. You need to look at all parameters.
So for my listeners who, you know, and this isn't me bashing Western, not at all. I still, you know, I love my general practitioner to pieces, because she does not write me a prescription unless I'm literally bleeding from the eye. So I adore her for that, but she's overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So
she doesn't have the time.
I'm like, I think they have a slot. I'm like, I'm there for like 20 minutes. Like, it's like, you alive? Let me check some stuff. Then get the hell out of my office, 'cause I got the next patient.
So my initial consult is 90 minutes.
Yeah, where a naturopath a functional medicine person, you know, they, your first, like she said, your first meeting, like it was like, tell me everything, like everything. Don't leave any stone unturned. Well, you're used to, so used to like lasering it for your Western doctor. But the reason why I went down this path is because I did my research. Like I listened to podcasts like this and I found professionals like Jennifer Harrington, who I would read her stuff and be like, this isn't happening for me here. And I sought it out. And so for those of you who, you know, if you feel like you're doing all the right things and you're packing on the pounds, then maybe it is exploring your thyroid. So what kind of tests would they take, Jennifer?
So TSH you've already mentioned, which is thyroid stimulating hormone. This is actually released from the brain to tell the thyroid, okay, guys, it's time to activate your inactive hormones. So that's the one that your family doctor will do, but a functional doctor will dig deeper. They will have a look at, well, do you have enough of the storage hormone, which is your T4? And then they'll have a look at your T3, which is your active hormone. And there's also a thing called reverse T3, which is when under times of stress, your body's trying to convert your thyroid hormone, but it's getting confused and it's going down the wrong path. And reverse T3 is inactive as well. And this sends a feedback loop to the brain. So the brain will rather receive, oh, we don't have enough thyroid hormone, send down more stimulating hormone, or it will say, right, we're good, we've got enough, slow it down. And when you get the ranges from the doctor, you can drive a truck through these ranges. They're massive. But to get those ranges, they look at 95% of the population, with 2.5 being at one end and 2.5 being at the other end. I'm sorry, I do not want to be only as healthy as 95% of the population. That's not going to work for me. I want to aim for optimal health or the best health possible for me. Not the bare minimum. So I don't want to be anywhere near those ranges. I want to be mid-range. Well, actually, with some tests, you want to be at the high end, like B12. You don't want to be anywhere near the middle. You want to be way up the high end. Other tests like thyroid antibodies, you want to be really down the low end. But with your TSH, you really want to be in the mid to low region because that means everything's working well. But if you're having a thorough thyroid panel, you have to check thyroid antibodies because thyroid antibodies can start to raise 5 to 10 years before your thyroid starts to dysfunction. I don't know about you, but I would love a warning sign. Look, here's a problem. This, you better change something. Otherwise, prepare yourself for, you know, a thyroid condition. Where a lot of doctors go, we can't do anything now because your thyroid's still working. We're just going to wait for it to be damaged enough and then we'll come in with some drugs.
We'll come with some drugs or just eradicate it and make it even worse. Like it just makes me crazy because you're absolutely right. Because if I could look at my TPO levels and maybe like the first year I don't do anything.
So you should say TPO is a thyroid antibody in case your listeners don't know.
Oh, yeah. And I said, you know, maybe you take a baseline. If I start to complain about being sluggish or feeling like I'm putting on weight, take a baseline.
Yeah.
And then the next year or take me back in 6 months and see what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's, you know, because I know that didn't happen to me. And I know that Hashimoto's likes to hide and likes to disguise itself as many other things.
Yes. And I don't blame doctors because they don't have the tools in their toolkit to work with antibodies. There's nothing they can do, therefore it's not their fault. But as a naturopath or if you've got a functional doctor, they have different tools in their toolkit. So for me, I can look at, well, is there any medicinal mushrooms that can help? Is there any probiotics that can help? Is this because of environmental toxins? Is this because of a hidden infection? Like we can dig deeper and sort of go, right, how do we help reduce these thyroid antibodies or at least stop them from climbing so that we can save your thyroid and you don't end up with that thyroid condition?
Right, exactly. So, you know, to wrap this around, because we went down a rabbit hole that I didn't expect to go down, but
that happens.
It was a good
it?
One. I know. But it was a really good rabbit hole. So for my magic maker who asked that question, is it metabolism? Is it hormone? It's kind of like the chicken or the egg.
Yes.
And so for my people who, if you are that active woman who's just always been really fit and all of a sudden you're just starting to pack on the pounds, it could be your thyroid. And ask your doctor to, you know, give you an expanded thyroid panel and, you know, don't accept that it's because you're eating carbs, because that was the answer I got. And thank God I don't want to go to jail because I could have killed her.
Mm. Well, can I go down another rabbit hole for a second?
Bring on the rabbit holes.
If you are struggling with weight and you're packing on the pounds, it is worth having a look at what your insulin levels are. Are you potentially pre-diabetic? Can we look at your HbA1c? Because 1 in 3 women postmenopausally develop diabetes, and this blows my mind. It's a lifestyle disease.
Yeah. Well, no, here's the other thing. So, you know, we open the door, so we're going through it. The other thing is that there's something out there, because if 1 in 3 women fall into this category, I can't say that all 1 in 3 women are out there, you know, binging on, you know, sugar and carbs and all the things that, you know, are lifestyle derivatives that cause their blood sugar to get all wonky, that they become insulin resistant.
Well, with diabetes, I see 2 main causes. I see diet, but I also see stress, because I don't know whether your listeners are aware of this, but when you're stressed, you release a hormone called cortisol, and you also release adrenaline and noradrenaline and other things, but let's just go down the cortisol route. Cortisol's job is to turn stored energy into active energy. It thinks you're getting chased by that saber-toothed tiger and you've got to get going. So it will give you fuel so that your body can run. But if you're not getting chased by a saber-toothed tiger, if you're maybe looking over your finances or you've got a deadline at work, your body produces the same hormones. And if you've got all this extra energy, all this extra sugar in your blood ready to run and you don't run, insulin will come in and go, oh, okay, let's remove all this sugar that we're not using. And then you have a blood sugar low. And then you go, oh, I'm so stressed. I don't have, let's just have a chocolate bar, or let's have a soft drink, or let's do something to bring your blood sugars back up. But I have seen on several occasions women that have the best diet, but have gone through the most stressful scenarios and ended up diabetic.
Yeah.
And it wasn't their diet. But I also don't want to enable your listeners to go, it's just my stress levels, it's not my diet, because I do want you to look at your diet and go, well, could it be both?
And I'm all about hybrids, and but I do know that a lot of my magic makers, y'all are stress balls. And you know, when people tell me that there's nothing they can do about their stress, I'm like, you're killing me.
There's so much you can do.
Right. You know, like you said earlier, that, you know, people kind of throw their hands up when it comes to, you know, like, oh, I'm in menopause, so I might as well just roll over and die.
No.
And the same thing happens with people with their stress. Like, ah, I'm just stressed. That's just how life is. And I'm like, no.
It's such a Western culture problem. Like, if you were to look at the Chinese, they call menopause the second spring. It is your second start. It's a refresh, a restart. It's when you get to live your life. I really see it's a transition between we to me. So before, during your fertile years, and even in perimenopause, it's all about everybody else, looking after the husband, the kids, the parents, everyone else. Where postmenopause, it's like, you know what? This is about me. What do I want to do with my life? Who am I? You're redefining you. And I don't know about you, Kim. I'm excited.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of, I had this conversation with my VA, and she just turned 40 2 weeks ago. And she's like, I don't know, Kim. She's like, She goes, but do you find that you just don't give a shit about anyone else right now? And you're just like, you just can't tolerate taking crap. I'm like, yep. Oh, honey. I was like, I go, buckle up. When I turn 50, I'm letting people know exactly what I think. I'm like, why wait till I'm 80?
Why? Exactly. You don't bottle things up. Let it out. But no. we've be nice to say, you know, we've loved. Don't go on a shooting spree.
Well, yeah, that's true. But you hit the nail on the head. I think for a long time we just bottle it all up, and it leads to that whole like stress that we have in our bodies, because we're like, oh, I can't say this, or I shouldn't do this, and all the shoulds keep you in a stress situation.
And you'll end up being that cranky old woman. No one wants to be that cranky old woman. You want to be happy and enjoying life, living life right to the fullest.
Do you guys do Halloween in Australia?
Well, we've become quite Americanized. So we don't do it to the same extent that you do, but yeah, it has leaked into our society. You've corrupted us.
Well, we should take, there's some good Australian stuff we start bringing up over here. Why I asked was that in America on Halloween, there's always, like when you grew up, there was always like that old lady, that old couple in your neighborhood that always gave you apples. there was the old lady who was always just mean, yeah, and just told you to get off her lawn all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you don't want to be that. It goes back to looking at society and looking at role models and saying, well, look, this woman is 20 years older than me, there's two. Do you want to be the good or the bad? And some people are like, I'm just so bitter and over life that they go one direction. And other women make the choice to go, no, personal development. I'm going to look at positive role models to see how I can become that version of me.
Right. And I love that. And, you know, this is like a great way to wrap up the call, was that, you know, we hit all of the questions that my magic makers have, is that, you know, when it comes to menopause, it's not a death sentence.
Nope.
You know, as you know, Jen alluded, it's second spring. You know, when you were 13 and you're a, you know, the pubescent 13-year-old, were you like, my life is over? No, you have had a crush on, like, I don't know, Rick Springfield. And you just, you know, couldn't wait for the next day. So I want you to start thinking in terms of that. And, you know, we gave you a few tips and tricks as far as the weight gain, because I know that's what most of you guys care about, is, you know, the weight gain. And we gave you, you know, potential thyroid, potential sugar thing, or potential just not having the right diet for you at this point in time.
Or the right mindset for you at this point in time.
Yes, the right mindset. And then we also, you know, we talked about hot flashes, you know, and it's really, I love how she, you know, pointed out, you know, is it stress-related hot flashes, or is it, you know, hormonal hot flashes? And so start tracking these kind of things, because even when you, you know, do meet with your Western doctor, or if you meet with a natural focused doctor, the more information you give, the more they're able to start to kind of like tick through their checklist.
Yeah. So I actually have a checklist on my, I've got a membership site.
Of course you do.
The online retreat. And in that I have a table where I've got the symptoms, and I've got the potential tests that you can do to see if this is a potential underlying cause. And that's something that you can take in to your doctor and say, well, look, I'm getting these symptoms and I can see we've only done some of these tests. Are you open to doing these other ones?
Yeah. And, you know, between myself and Jennifer, we can always point you in the direction of, you know, someone who is more natural focused, if that is a route that you would like to go.
Or you could work with me. I do Skype consultations if you like.
And there it is. You have one right here. And you've heard her lovely voice. And I'm sorry, anyone who has an accent, you could sell me like dog poop in a bag. And I'm like, hi, here's my credit card.
Okay.
So yeah, so Jennifer, and I don't know about you, but I feel that she is highly qualified to help you figure out what is going on with you. So
well, thank you.
Again, all of our contact information will be in the show notes. So if you are want to go down that natural path, that natural route, Jen is your girl. So the last question I ask all of my guests, what makes you feel magical?
I would have to say connections. One of the problems that I see is loneliness. There are so many people out there. The world is full of people, yet people are feeling lonely. So what makes me feel magical is connecting with people. It can just be a random stranger I've never met before and just eye contact and smiling, or talking to someone at the checkout of the supermarket, or it can be connecting with golden friends that I've known from childhood that maybe I haven't spoke to recently, or distant family members or friends. I think it's so important that we don't lose those connections, and it's so easy for it to happen, or that we live on Facebook and it's not actually a real connection. Yeah. So for me, I feel magical when I'm connecting with people.
I love that. Absolutely love that. And you know, that's one of my things that light me up, like a good quality, connection.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Love it. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. And where can people find you on the interwebs?
Okay. So my website is Menopause Natural Solutions. And on that website, you'll be able to find the symptom tracker quiz that we spoke about before. And you'll also find my membership course, which is the online retreat. We've got one last opportunity to get involved with that this year, and that's at the beginning of November. But if you're interested, there's a wait list. So you can join the wait list and you'll be the first to know, because I only take a small group of women. I don't want to have 100 women that I'm trying to sort out through. I just want a few that we can make life very different for. I've also got my own podcast, which is Menopause Natural Solutions. So maybe you want to come and listen to me over there. I have a Facebook page, which is also Menopause Natural Solutions. And I think that's enough options.
Awesome. So yeah, all of this will be linked up in the show notes. And, you know, this has just been super educational for me. I love when I can take away stuff, and I hope you have all taken away some great little nuggets. And so thank you again, Jen, and have an awesome evening.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's morning for you.
Yes, it's morning. I'm going to have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.